We welcome everyone out to the services, and we are thankful that you can be here with us worshiping the Lord today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can gather together today. We thank you, Lord, for each one that is able to be with us. We ask, Lord, that you may bring blessing to us and encouragement and just bless our hearts as we worship you together today. And we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. I want to start with a reading from the scriptures in Psalm 46. I know this is a time when many folks are fearful and there's a great deal of problem going on in our world. And so in Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so in this time when there's difficulty, and it's easy to get afraid, we don't need to fear as God's people. We know that God is with us. He is in control. He knows what's happening. He has the whole plan laid out. He's using all things for his own glory. We don't understand all that's going on, but we do know that God is in control. And as it says here, we are to be still and know that he is God. So don't let your hearts be troubled. God is still in control. God is still in the midst of us. God is still our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, as far as announcements go, we don't have a lot of things, being that we can't meet together. So basically, I'm just giving a list of things that are postponed. The ladies' meeting has been postponed. The meetings that we were having with Brother Schwanke have been canceled. Right now, we're trying to reschedule those at some date when we get through this trouble, and we'll see what we can do on that. We will be having evening service tonight. It will be on the Facebook, and you can see that there. And we'll also be having the Wednesday prayer services and Bible study. And again, that will be on Facebook, and you can watch that there. We're not having any services here in the auditorium until we get past all of this sickness and disease. And then to our members, let me just remind you that even though we're not here, the cost of things still goes on. I know we're not using as much electric and all that, but we still have to pay the pastor, all those other things and send out the money to the missionary. So please don't forget to send in your tithes. You can do that on by either sending it through the mail, or you can go online there on our website, and there's a place that you can do that with the credit card. So remember to send those things in as far as those things go. And I do hope you will come back tonight at 6. We are going to be going over the portion of the tabernacle that regards the priest. We're going to be looking at their clothing and what they wore and how that shows us something of Christ. And so we're going to look forward to that. Now, let's go ahead and work on our memory verse. We've been memorizing in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. So if you are behind, and this is the month of March, you've got three verses, so you've got plenty of extra time today. So go back and learn those verses, and let me encourage us all to learn those verses, because hiding God's word in our heart is a good thing. So we're going to say this twice together, as we normally do. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. Again, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. So again, let me just encourage you, keep hiding God's word in your heart. There's nothing better to do than to put the word of God in your heart. It will help you in these times of difficulty and settle your mind as you focus upon the Lord. Now, our scripture reading for today is coming from the book of Philippians, and we're in chapter 1, and we will begin reading at verse number 12, going down to verse number 18. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for your word and the instructions that we find therein. And Lord, we know that there are many burdens and situations that are going on in our land this day, but none is more important than the exaltation of our God. We know that you are supreme, that you rule and do all things well, that you have an eternal plan, and that there is in you peace and joy forever. And so we give you praise and glory and dominion both now and evermore. And Lord, we ask that you would help us this week to accomplish thy will, to do those things which are pleasing in thy sight, to be a blessing to our fellow man, to be an encouragement to our fellow believers, and to praise and exalt our God. Help us in reaching this community for Christ. We know that we are here in Glen Burnie, and it is our responsibility to reach out to the folks that are here. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to reach these people, to give the gospel out in every way that we can, that, Lord, souls might be saved. And we pray, Father, that you will bless in all of our various ministries. We know some of them are not able to go on at this time, and even as we weren't able to go to the nursing home because of this virus thing that's going around, Lord, we pray that you'll bring peace and comfort to those folks' hearts, and may they too know that they are loved of the Lord. And Father, we pray for the rescue mission and the work that goes on there. We pray for our missionaries who are laboring on the foreign fields. Lord, some of them are stuck on furlough and can't get back to their home countries because of all that's going on. We pray that, Lord, you will open the doors and allow the word of God to go back and that missionaries can get to where they need to be. And Father, for those of thy people who are facing persecution, may you bring comfort to them and encouragement. And Lord, may you just cause the work of God to go forward in great power and might, that many might be saved. And Lord, even use this disease that's going around right now, that it might be an opportunity to cause people to think, and that, Lord, souls might come to Christ because of what occurs. And so, Father, we want your will to be done. We do pray, Father, for any that are in our church that are sick. I don't know of anyone sick, but Lord, if anybody's got the cold or the allergies that are going around now, or if there's those who have the virus that's going around or the regular flu or any of these things, Lord, may you comfort and strengthen and help them. And so, Father, we ask for thy blessing to be upon all of these. We pray, Father, that you will bless in our nation. We know our leaders need wisdom, and we pray that, Father, you may give that to them, that, Lord, we might have that opportunity of leading a quiet and peaceable life. We pray, Father, for our military and our policemen, our firemen, or even our doctors and our nurses and all of those involved in the health care, that, Lord, you would bless them and help them, that they might be able to be an encouragement to us as they serve the community, and that they might be a blessing. And, Lord, we pray that this disease may soon end, then there could be a blessing there. And so, Father, we pray for your protection and your help in all these matters. We ask you, Father, as well, to forgive us of our trespasses. We know, Lord, that there are many sins that we all commit, that our minds and hearts are not stayed upon thee, that sometimes, Lord, we're covetous. And, Lord, at this time, sometimes our hearts are filled with worry and anxiety and fear. and we're not concerned about the things of the Lord, and we are focused upon ourselves and selfishness. And Lord, we pray you'll forgive us of this. May we have a heart to serve our God. And so, Father, we ask for thy blessing on all these things, and we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I want to also just say a word of thanks for those who have been helping out with different things here. We've got several of the men who've come in to help me with getting this onto the screen, and I appreciate the hard work that they've put in getting that out onto the internet, and I thank them for that. And we also got the new cross up behind me and the rock wall up, and I thank Brother Robbie. He helped me with that, getting all that up there. And so we thank the Lord for that and trying to make these improvements and making the place look nicer. And we just thank the Lord for all that he's doing for us. All right, well, let's go ahead now to the Word of God and go to our sermon for the day. Right now, our nation is facing some unprecedented closures. We've never done this sort of thing where we've closed whole states and all kinds of closures that are going on. And it's all due to this illness. Well, the question that comes to my mind is, well, what does this mean for the cause of Christ? This is not the time for a church to retreat from the mission that God has given us. This is the time for the Church of Jesus Christ to advance. People are now thinking about death in a way that many have not thought about before. Many folks are full of fear. And so we need to, as the people of God, to give out the gospel of hope to a people that are in need. People need the gospel like they have never needed it before. Now is the time to advance the gospel. And coincidentally, that's exactly the passage that the Lord brought to us this week as we've been going through the book of Philippians. We are at that place, and the Apostle Paul was giving that exact same message to the people in his day. Paul found himself in prison. He was there in probably Rome, is the traditional view, and he is in Rome in prison, and he is chained to a Roman guard, and there he is awaiting his sentence and what is going to happen with his case. And as he is in that place, he is encouraging the believers not to retreat, not to be afraid, not to be concerned, but rather to do the exact opposite, to advance, to go forward, to reach out to people, and to win people for Christ. And this is the great job that the church has been given. We need to advance the gospel in these days. He says there in verse number 12, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, the things which have happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Why did these things happen to Paul? They happened because it was the opportunity to move the gospel forward, to advance the gospel, to go in a greater direction than had ever been gone. And so, folks, we're to advance the gospel through troubles. When there are troubles, this is the time to advance. It's not the time to fall back and retreat. There are no accidents with God. God knows the end from the beginning. He has all things planned out. He is working out all things after the counsel of his own will. And as a result, we are to continue to go forward. We may have to minister differently for a while, and that's what we're doing now. We've never had to do this before. I've never, you know, gotten on the computer before and ministered in this way, you know, and it's a little different than, you know, preaching to a regular audience where, you know, I just have the, what I call the wood family, the pews, you know, here empty and preaching to them. But nonetheless, it is a way to reach people in a way that is new to us and is up and coming, I think, for the young people. So many folks today are not willing to, you know, listen as you go door to door and knock on doors and you don't get a lot of answers. But, you know, it is a way we can reach into homes. And so God knows what he's doing. He is advancing the gospel. He is moving. And folks, when you have troubles in your life and when difficulties come, that's not the time to fall back and say, "Where is God and why isn't God doing anything?" That's God opening doors of opportunity for you that you've never had before. Opportunities to move ahead. And so look for those ways to advance the gospel. We also need to advance the gospel through godly living and testimony. In verse 13, he says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." In other words, his bonds, and he's talking about literal bonds, he's talking about being literally chained to a Roman guard. And so he has rented his own house, according to Acts 28:30, but he is still chained to one of the guards there in Rome. And as a result, He is in a difficult situation, but he says, my bonds in Christ are manifest. They are made plain in all of the palace. As new guards would come, Paul would witness to those people and give them the gospel. And Paul would meet with other officials who were coming back and forth concerning the case and all of those things. And as a result, the gospel is going forward. And people would go back and they would talk amongst one another. The guards would go forward and say to the other guards, you know, well, how was your job? You know, like people will do. They will talk amongst each other. And so these guards would talk to each other. And as they would talk to each other, they would say, well, you know, I got this really bad murderer guy and he's horrible. And I got this insurrectionist and he's really horrible. Well, I got this guy. And you won't believe what he was telling me. He was telling me about a guy who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And because he has come back to life from dying on the cross, we can all be forgiven of our sins and go to heaven and live with God one day. I mean, there was a whole different ministry that was moving forward. The manner by which Paul lived and his demeanor in the midst of all of this, he wasn't whining and crying about the problems. He was praising God. He was glorifying the Lord. He was witnessing. And as a result of that, he was a powerful testimony to those guards and to all of those other people who would come into contact with this. And so through our godly living and testimony, we are advancing the gospel. People are watching you right now. They are looking at you and they are seeing, are you full of fear? Are you afraid? I see that guy. He goes to church every week. I see that family. They say they know the Lord. Are they panicked? Are they afraid? Are they concerned? Are they whining and crying when something bad happens to them? Are they praising the Lord? We need to use our testimony to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 14, he says, through the confidence, he says there, and many of the brethren of the Lord waxing confident, growing in confidence. They were increasing in confidence. We don't use the word waxing too much anymore. People don't know that word from the King James Bible. But we still use that in regard to the moon. When the moon is getting bigger, we say it is waxing. And when it's getting smaller, it is waning. And so, you know, the waxing moon. So that's what he's talking about. The people were growing in confidence. They were becoming more confident. This is the idea. Through a confidence-building example, when we are faithful to the Lord, when we're faithful to Christ, it builds confidence in other people. People gain confidence from you. Just as fear spreads, as one person sees people afraid, if they get afraid because they see other people afraid, so confidence spreads. As they see you confident, trusting the Lord and going forward, it builds confidence in them. Hey, if they can do it, I can do it. If they can serve the Lord, I can serve the Lord. If they can witness faithfully, I can witness faithfully. And it is a way of building confidence in folks. And so we need to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through these troubles and through our godly living and testimony and by building confidence in others by being the kind of example we ought to be. We also have to advance the gospel through a fearless gospel presentation. He says, many are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, when he says speak the word, he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the message of God. He's talking about the word of God in our day. But in Paul's day, you know, as the gospel is still going out and the word of God is still being composed, he's talking about the message of the gospel. He's talking about that very thing. And so through a fearless gospel presentation, folks, we cannot be afraid to give people the gospel. We've got to just get up there and talk. Now, I know sometimes, you know, people are shy and quiet, and that's your natural, you know, demeanor, and you're not outgoing, and you're a little afraid to do things, and, you know, you just don't naturally have words flowing off your tongue, you know, and all of that. And some people say they get all tongue-tied, and they can't get anything out. But you know what? God uses even that to reach people for Christ. You don't know what that person really needs. Maybe all they needed to see was somebody who cared enough about them that they were trying to stumble through something and they got something out. Maybe they already know the gospel. They just were waiting on somebody who cared enough to cry in front of them because they couldn't get anything else out. But I love you and I want you to go to heaven. You know, don't be afraid to get that gospel message out. God uses different ministries and different people. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power and of love. And so let us speak courageously and fearlessly for the gospel. Don't be afraid to speak the gospel plainly. You know, sometimes we beat around the bush so much, nobody knows what we're saying. Just get down to the brass tacks and let people know what it is you're saying. People need the simple, clear truth of God's offer of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They need to know that Jesus loves them, that God loves them. He doesn't want them to die and go to hell. He wants them to go to heaven. He wants everyone to be in heaven, and he's inviting you to go to heaven. He's commanding you to go to heaven. He is commanding all men everywhere to repent and turn from their sins and turn to the Savior. And if you will simply ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior, he will come into your heart and save you and give you that eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought not be afraid to give out the gospel. We ought to be plain in our speech. We ought to make it simple so that people can understand. But then in verses 15 through 18, he tells us there that we are to advance the gospel through preaching. We're to do it through the preaching of the gospel. Now, in this particular verses here in verses 15 down to 18, there are several kind of two different groups that are talked about here. He talks about some preaching Christ of envy and strife and some of goodwill. So there's two different bunches that are preaching the gospel. There are some people who are doing it for wrong motives. And it is a sad truth that not all those who are preaching the gospel are doing so rightly. Some are perverting the content of the gospel. And some are perverting the motives for which they are to present the gospel. Why do we present the gospel? Because it is the command of God. He's told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we do it. We do it out of obedience. We're to do what the Lord has told us to do. He's told us to go, and so we're to go. Are we to do that so that we can build up the biggest church in the world? No. Are we to do that so we can have a great income? No. We're not to do any of those things. Are we to do that to make money? No. We're to preach the gospel of Christ freely to all people, whether we have income or whether we don't have income. If we don't have income, then we're to get a job and work and care for ourselves. But if God provides for us so that we can preach like pastors do, then praise be to God. But if that's not the case, then we get a job and then we keep preaching as the Apostle Paul did. He worked and built tents all day and preached then in the evenings and whenever people came to buy a tent and all those things. And so the gospel needs to go out. So we're going to preach the gospel. And we're going to do it through either the right through a right motive. But there's some people that are doing it through the wrong motive. Sometimes the motives are going to be bad. But here's the wonderful thing. God can still use it. You know, even when we are sometimes doing it for the wrong motive, God can still use it. Should we preach because of the wrong motive? Absolutely not. Should we serve because of the wrong motive? Absolutely not. Do we sometimes have the wrong motive when we serve? Sure. You see, we don't know our own hearts. The Bible tells us our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when we have a heart like that, how can we really know what the true motive of our heart is? We may not even understand what our true motive is. But go forward for the Lord. Advance. Move ahead. Now, in Paul's day, some were preaching out of envy and rivalry. Who these people were, we don't know. The Bible doesn't make plain to us who these folks were. We know in Corinth, there were some people over there who were preaching, and you know they were of the Paul group, and they were of the Apollos group, and they were of the Christ group. These are named out. And so they're, you know, fighting amongst each other over this kind of foolishness. That ought not be. There ought not be this envy and rivalry. And sometimes churches are like that in communities. You know, they fight amongst themselves and they fight over people and they fight over members and they, you know, and that's not the reason we preach the gospel. We preach so that souls are saved. And if they get saved and they go to some other church, praise be to God. We're not concerned about that. What we're concerned about is souls being saved. Some are doing it out of a motive of selfish ambition. They just want to build themselves up. Somebody told me years ago, so it's always strange to me how that pastors tell me they've been called to a new church. It's always the one that pays them more. You know, there's certain truth to that. You know, now I know pastors have been called and gone to churches that were smaller, and praise God that they're doing the right thing and they're going where the Lord leads them. But sometimes it's just selfish ambition. People are just there for their own, you know, stuff, and they're not preaching sincerely. They're preaching insincerely. And he goes on in verse 17, he says, so that they can stir up trouble. You know, it's kind of interesting. One of the commentators said it was the idea that, you know, Paul has this shackle on his arm. And when it would move around, it causes a rubbing and a hurting. He says, this is what they're trying to do. They're just trying to irritate me and hurt me by rubbing around my chains. They're just causing problems. What a terrible thing that we would be preaching the gospel just so we could be irritating, just so we could be obnoxious, just so we could be offensive. No, we don't need to be offensive. We don't need to be that. But sometimes there's going to be an offense to the gospel. Sometimes when you tell people that you need to change and be saved, people are going to say, well, I don't need to change. I'm fine. And they're going to be offended. But you know, God says we aren't fine, that our hearts are deceitful, they are desperately wicked, and that we need to change. We need to come and receive a new heart. We need to be born again. We need new spiritual life. And so Paul was facing people who had perverted motives, who were doing things not for the right reason. But why do we preach? We preach out of goodwill. And he also adds to that, out of love and out of true motives. That's why we preach. We preach because we want what's best for people. What is the best for people? That's true love. True love is not to all this emotion and feeling. True love is you say to them, I want what is best for you. And what's best for you is not that you should be rejected of God, but that you should be loved of God and brought into the family of God and part of God's family and on the way to heaven. And that's why we preach, because we love people. We want people to be saved. We have motives that, as far as we know, are true. We're not there to build up the church and just to see ourselves glorified. We're there to see Christ glorified. That's our goal. And we want those things. And so that's what we need to do. Advance the gospel through the troubles and through our godly living and through confidence and through the fearless presentation and through our preaching. We want Christ's gospel to go ahead. We want to advance the work of the Lord. But in verse 16b, he adds this, supposedly to add affliction to my bonds. He says, the other knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Here, the gospel, we advance the gospel through the defense of the gospel. Now, there are ministries that's what they do. They are, it's usually called apologetics, and that's the Greek word that's used there. Apologia. So we, you know, there are those who will defend the gospel. They will defend the word of God. And they make these arguments against the falsehoods and the lies, and they debate these things, and, you know, they present that. And that's good. We need to defend the gospel. The gospel needs to be defended. It needs to be upheld and said, here is the message. There are some today who are preaching that all you have to do is just be a good person and God will take you to heaven. And that, unfortunately, is a lie. The gospel says you must repent. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are those that tell you that, you know, it doesn't matter which way you come up the mountain. As long as you're worshiping God in some way, we're all going to get there somehow. No, that's not true. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the light. I am the truth. There is no other way. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus alone is our hope. And so we must defend the gospel. We must preach that Christ alone is the way of salvation, that there is hope in no other, that you must come to him and you must ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and save you. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Whosoever, that means anybody. Thank the Lord, the gospel is not restricted to any person, any group. It is for every person. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And folks, if you don't know Christ today, let me just tell you, call on the name of the Lord. You say, well, I don't understand everything. You don't need to. All you need to say is, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that that man who prayed that prayer in the scripture went home justified. God does the work of saving. God understands all of those things. You don't need to understand all that. What we need to understand is we just call on the name of the Lord. Ask the Lord to save you. And so we need to defend the gospel and advance it through that. But we also advance the gospel through a rejoicing spirit. There at the end of verse 18, he says, Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Yes, Paul was facing troubles. He had difficulties. He's chained to a Roman guard. He can't do what he wanted to do. All he can do is write letters and send them out to the various churches. He's witnessing and doing everything he can, and in the midst of all of the troubles that he has because of that, he is still facing Christians who are facing giving him problems, because these people in verses 15 to 17, 18 that he talked about who were preaching Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to his bond, these are not the unsaved. These are the saved. So he has trouble from the Judaizers. He has trouble from the saved. He has trouble from unbelievers. He's got trouble with Rome. He's got all kinds of problems. But in the midst of all of that, he's not downhearted. He's rejoicing in the Lord. He says, therein do I rejoice. I am rejoicing. Why? Because the gospel's going forward. You know, it is a great thing that the gospel is going forward, and it is a cause of joy to the heart. Sometimes, you know, you can get discouraged because you think, well, I'm not seeing results. Nothing's happening where I am. Yeah, but that doesn't mean nothing's happening. God is working. Souls are being saved. Churches are growing. People are coming to the Savior. The work of the Lord is going forward, and we need to be a people with a rejoicing spirit. It doesn't matter whether you're chained to a Roman guard or whether you're chained to your house right now because you're not allowed to go out because of all this flu. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter. Have a rejoicing spirit. We can send out letters just like the Apostle Paul did. We can also do more than he could do. We can send out messages through the computer. We can send out messages on the phone. And we can reach people for the Lord. And so let me encourage you, as folks in our church and those that may be listening to this for the first time, the gospel needs to go forward. God's word needs to go out. Don't just sit at home saying, well, there's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can use the letters. You can use the Facebook. You can use the electronic media. You can use the telephone. You can be a blessing. You can reach out. You can advance the gospel. You can be an encouragement. You can do things for the Lord. It is the work of God's people to advance the gospel. And if there's anyone listening today who says, Pastor, I don't know Christ. I don't know what you're talking about, this gospel thing. Let me just encourage you. Christ died for you. He loves you, and he wants you to be saved. And if you'll believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So, folks, we thank you for tuning in today, and we trust that God will bless us and encourage us as we go forward in this coming week. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to gather together and to worship as the body of Christ. And we know that these are strange times, Lord, and things that we've not seen laid out for us before. And yet, as the apostle said, it doesn't matter the means. We're just thankful Christ is preached. Encourage our hearts. Help us to keep going for Christ. May we advance the gospel this day. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.